Wednesday evening, 10:04:23. We all survived the the whatever, the EMS or whatever it was called. All right. We're going to do Naming and Mapping the Powers, Part 7 tonight. Okay, I'm just going to read what I put here, and we're going to look at some scriptures. We've been looking at intercession, and it holds the key to naming and mapping the powers. We can't do it without that. All right? If we do not have instruction from the Holy Spirit, then we cannot proceed. See, this is God's plan. You know, I know the military's great, and OQ's great, all those things, but if God's not in it, it's useless as far as I'm concerned, because God knows everything. I know Q says they know it all, they have it all, and maybe they do, but they don't know as much as God. They don't know as much as the Holy Spirit. And so for us to do what God wants us to do as His army, we have to have God's instructions. Okay. We're told to ask for guidance, for we see through a glass darkly, Paul said. Especially in these times we live in, only God knows all and sees all. So this is Romans 8:26. says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. To me, an infirmity is not having the answer. It's like, I mean, I hadn't looked up infirmities there, but it's like weaknesses and areas where you want to get, you need the answer and you don't have the answer. But the Holy Spirit does. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. We can think that we know. I had to just, today was something that happened that I just rattled off some stuff without thinking. I said, Lord, I don't know. Forgive me for speaking out of turn. I don't know. Only you know in what any given situation what the will of the Lord is. Because we see from the outside, that's kind of darkly. We see from the outside and we don't know everything that's going on. We should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. In other words, praying in the Spirit. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So when we do it this way, then we know this will happen. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. So God has a perfect plan for everything that concerns man. Everything. No matter what it is. He has a perfect plan. And if we will submit to Him and allow Him, say, Lord, I don't know what to do about this situation. Then what do? We pray till we get the answer. Right? We talked about Daniel, you know, who had to wait 3 weeks. The angel said, well, from the first moment that you began to pray, I started to the earth with the answer, but this demonic entity stopped me. So there was a delay, not because God is not holding out. He never holds out on anybody about anything. Whether you think that or not, He doesn't hold out. As far as He is concerned, we live under an open heaven. He didn't put the demonic entities there. He didn't do what Adam did. That was man that did that, that was deceived by the devil. The hindrance is it's the devil, not God. I don't know why God won't answer my prayer. I've been praying for 30 years about this, and I still ain't got an answer. Well, you know, I guess we're not going to always know everything about everything. But I believe if we're praying the Spirit, it says right here. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and them who are called according to His purpose. His purpose. Call, this is His purpose. We're to pray things through in the Holy Spirit. That is His purpose. It's not for us to just jump out there and just do stuff, churchy stuff that never amounts to anything. Been in the institutions my whole life, and I haven't seen much of anything. Maybe a handful of things that the Holy Spirit was actually intervening and moving and doing something before my eyes. It's just all a bunch of churchy stuff. Not coming against anybody. We didn't know any better. That's just the way it was. I think the biggest thing that the church has missed is this is an inside walk. This isn't an institution. This is an inside walk. Every part of it. I'm not going to get off on what I'm going to bring Sunday. There's something I'm going to bring that's along that order. But it's like, Lord, it is. All of it is an inside thing. Because we are the temple of the Holy Ghost. It's an inside thing. He's just looking for someone that's willing enough to put their thinking and their stuff aside and say, I'm looking to you because you're the one that has the answer. He likes for us to seek Him. You know, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Amplify says, His way of doing and being right, and then all these things shall be added. His way of doing and being right. Well, this is His way. This is hearing the command, but getting the details, the plan. Okay. Hear the command, wait for the plan. How can anyone do anything without the plan? You know, I've seen it over the years, many. They don't get that. They shipwreck because they don't get that. They heard the command and they just started in their own flesh to do what they thought God wanted them to do, or all the resources in their hands. I was telling Danny about something. I said, there was someone that called me one time and thought, you know, y'all need to get out there and you need to put yourself out there. I've had that happen a couple of times, actually. You need, you know, beat the bushes, you know, write letters and do all this stuff. Promote yourself, you know. And I'm thinking, I can't do that. That isn't God's way. Who's the promoter? God is. He raises up one and puts down another. It doesn't come from the south, the east, or the west, it says, promotion. So I don't like the self-promotion stuff. And I'm so thankful that I don't have to do that. I found out that's not God's way, and so I don't have to try to promote myself to do what God's called me to do, or you either. When He gets ready for you, He'll tell you. And then He'll maneuver you into position. And He'll supply. Where He guides, He provides. He'll supply whatever you need to do the mission He's called you to do. But if you jump out early and there's no supply, you think, well, I guess I didn't hear from God. Here we go again. Happens all the time. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Mount up with wings as eagles. They'll run and not be weary, walk and not faint. There it is right there. Lord, teach me to wait. That's a song. Teach me to wait. All right. We don't want to end up like the seven sons of Sceva. That's why when it comes to naming and mapping the powers, we need to get the plan of God. Because we don't want to be running out of a house naked and beat up because we thought, well, you know, Paul over here did it. We're going to read this later, but Paul did it over here and he got success. Well, Paul was an apostle. You bet Paul was prayed up and he knew what to do in the situation. But these guys thought, hey, that's cool. Let's try that. That demon beat him up. Said they ran out of the house naked. Ripped his clothes, ripped their clothes off. I don't want any of that. All right. God's protection needs to be on us as we proceed into battle. We're not just doing stuff. We're getting away from churchy stuff. The kingdom age is not going to be churchy stuff. All this churchy stuff is going away. Whether people like it or not or realize it or not. Just like this emergency broadcast today. There was people fear-mongering all over the place. Telling people, turn off your phones, wrap it in foil, put it in your microwave. I mean, just all kinds of stupid stuff. And I'm thinking, it's just a nothing burger. And was it? Yes, it was. It was a nothing burger. I said, why would people rather hear the fear porn than it's going to be okay? I don't know. I don't get it. All right. All right, let's look at our armor. I've read this to you so many times, and nearly, well, no, I'll never be ashamed of the gospel or reading the word to you over and over and over if that's what it takes us to get it in our heads. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We cannot whip the devil with flesh and blood. And we're not armed with our own armor. We have on God's armor. Big difference here. God's armor. God's armor takes care of it. All right. This is 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not taking it into your own hands. It's not fleshly. But they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. We need this armor on to guard our minds. All right, now go over to Ephesians 6. Ten. Let me get a drink. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, not in yourself, and in the power of His might, not yours. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So he's telling us, you have to have God's armor to whip this wily coyote, whatever. You can't do it yourself. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. This isn't a fist fight, not a natural fight, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So naming and mapping the powers, these are these entities we're talking about right here. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. This is the way I think about it. When you get the answer and God gives you the plan, that armor goes on. And it goes into place. And it protects you. Because God is going to oversee His plan, but He's not going to oversee fleshly plan. That's not how we do it. All right, I believe the day is over as the church, that we can no longer just do stuff. God is done with that, and we must be done with it also. I would rather the Lord tell me to do two things in my whole life, and I did them successfully, than to do hundreds of things, or He'll say, did I tell you to do that? I don't think so. I don't know you. That's scary stuff. But I'm telling you, there's a world of Christians out there that believe that's what you do. And it's because they've not been taught. I'm just thankful that the Lord taught us. You know, we were never content with the churchy. We just couldn't stay in it. The Lord had something better. He wanted me to come, us to come aside and let Him show us His ways, like He showed His Son. All right, we're sons of God, right? It should be common for all Christians to know how to do warfare. Most Christians, their warfare is called the prayer line. Have somebody else do their praying for them. Well, you know, I don't mess with that. Intercessors aren't just special people. They are special people, but they aren't just a called group that just do intercession. Every one of us is called to intercession. Okay, we are all sent. We're all sent. And we will all be given the armor of God to do warfare as God calls upon us. There's nobody that's exempt from this. We were born into this. All right, a few scriptures here. 1 Timothy 1:19. All right, it says here, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck. In other words, they're not using the weapons and the things that God has given us to do warfare. Yeah. Revelation 12. We're going to see why we have to do what we do. Why we are all called to do it. Whether people want to enter the war or not, they are being warred against. They're being warred against. This is Revelation chapter 12. Verse 7. Go start with verse 7. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. No, he just deceiveth in prayer warriors. No, it says the whole world. He was cast out into the earth. We didn't ask for this. And his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. So the devil's come down to war against you. If you're a son of God, he is here to war against you. He hates man. He thought he should get the place that man got. And when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. And to the woman were given, I won't even read that part. Right here, 17. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. So all war has come against you just for being born and being born again. All right, Genesis 3. We talked before about the seed war. This is what it is. It's a seed war. Devil's seed or God's seed? Genesis 3, 14 and 15. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, Thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Yeah. So like it or not, as a Christian, this is the dish we've been served. We do not have a choice about the matter, as far as I'm concerned. All right. We're going to get into the types of this spiritual warfare. The first level is common to most of us. It's known as deliverance. That's what you'll hear in, you know, praying for people. We're praying for deliverance and stuff like that. So we're going to look at a few scriptures here on deliverance. Deliver means to rescue, okay? Matthew 6:13. There's different kinds of spiritual warfare. 6:13 says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. This is part of the Lord's Prayer. Deliver us from evil. We're in a seed war. Deliver us, Lord, from evil. And the Lord gave me something the other day. I'll share with Danny. I'll share with you about AI. The Lord just said, you got AI covered. It's the devil, right? How do we overcome him? Blood of the Lamb, word of our testimony. Name of Jesus. All right. We're going to look at the ministry of Jesus. Look now, just back a few pages to Matthew 4:24. We're going to kind of look at, see how Jesus operated. 4:24. Well, let's start with 23 here. And Jesus went about all Galilee, preaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. This is the gospel of the kingdom. Did Jesus just do rogue things? No, he heard from the Father about everything he did. All right. Mainly sicknesses and diseases here. But there were evil spirits enforcing those things in their bodies, evidently. All right, now go to Matthew 8. Ooh, I hear thunder. 8:14. And when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. And he touched her hand, the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. And when the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils. And he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick. Now this is the first level of spiritual warfare. First level. Dealing usually with people being sick, infirm people, casting out devils. And he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. All right, verse 28 now, same chapter. When he was come to the other side into the country of the Gerasenes, there met him two possessed with devils coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. And behold, they cried out, saying, what have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time? And there was a good way off from them a herd of swine feeding. So the devils besought him, saying, if thou cast us out, suffer us to go away into the herd of swine. And he said unto them, go. And when they were come out, they went into the herd of swine. And behold, the whole herd of swine ran violently down a steep place into the sea and perished in the waters. There's one account that says he asked the demon its name, and he said, Legion, for we are many. So there's more than one account of some type of lunatic running out there with devils that Jesus delivered. All right. I didn't get them all today because we'd be here all night. All right, Matthew 9, 18. While he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, My daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. And Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. See, these are mostly personal. This is personal ministry, like one-on-one individuals. And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, If I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned him about. When he saw her, he said, Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. And when Jesus came to the ruler's house and saw the minstrels and the people making a noise, he said unto them, Give place, for the maid is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when the people were put forth, he went in and took her by the hand, and the maid arose. And the fame hereof went abroad all over the land. Did Jesus do anything independent of Father? Did he do anything independent of the Father? No, he did not. So what he did was ordained of God. All right? And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou Son of David, have mercy on us. And when he had come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus saith unto them, Believe ye that I am able to do this? They said unto him, Yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, According to your faith be it unto you. And their eyes were opened, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, See that no man know it. But they, when they were departed, spread abroad his fame in all the country, and they went out. As they went out, behold, they brought to him a dumb man possessed with a devil. And when the devil was cast out, the dumb spake, and the multitudes marveled, saying, It was never so seen in Israel. So Jesus dealt with a lot of demon spirits. From what we know by faith, you know, when the devil comes at you with something, just because he brings his false evidence appearing real doesn't mean it is. But these people didn't know that. All right, Matthew 10. Did I do 9? Yes. Yes, I did. Okay. Matthew 9, 18. 10, verse 1. When he called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. They list the disciples here. And he said, verse 7 and 8, And as you go, preach, saying, The kingdom of God is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely have received, freely give. So this is part of the gospel of the kingdom. It includes healing. It includes deliverance. What does salvation mean? Wholeness, soundness, peace, shalom, everything, a complete freedom. Complete freedom. That's what salvation is. A letting go of bondage in every way. So as believers, shouldn't we be versed in this? Shouldn't we be to the point that wherever we went, as the Father led, that we would be just as quick to act as Jesus did? And then he sent out his disciples to do the same thing. In fact, some of them come back and said, Yeah, the devils are even subject to us in your name. He said, Well, don't rejoice because the devils are subject to you. Rejoice because your name's written in heaven. That's what the important part is, you know. All right, Matthew 12. 22. Then was brought unto him one possessed with the devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him, insomuch that the blind and the dumb both spake and saw. See, the religious leaders were amazed. I'd be ventured to say most churchy people and ministers would be amazed today. I mean, when you see it all the time and you're doing it, practicing it, you're not as amazed, right? It's just normal kingdom operation and business. That's what we need. That's what we're supposed to be doing. All right, verse 28 here. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come unto you. Like I said, healing is God's calling card. Because that's what the kingdom's all about, healing. Health, wholeness, wellness, preservation, soundness. Peace. Not this turmoil that we've lived in. No, not at all. All right, healing is part of the kingdom message. All right, let's go over to Mark. Mark 1. Try not to duplicate here, but I might have. So. All right, this is 21. And they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day entered into the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority, not as the scribes. There was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God." And Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Hold thy peace and come out of him." And when the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. And they were all amazed, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him." Right here. And immediately his fame spread abroad throughout all the region round about Galilee. Jesus came out of the wilderness by himself. God gave him 12 disciples. But when he started doing these things, he began to have a following. The multitude started showing up because they needed help. All right, Mark 3. 13. And he goeth up into a mountain, and calleth unto him whom he would, and they came unto him. And he ordained 12 that they should be with him, and that he might send them forth to preach, and to have power to heal sicknesses, and to cast out devils. It's normal Christian to cast out devils. I tell you what, most people don't want to go anywhere near it. They're scared. Christians, I'm talking about. All right, Mark 6. Start with 7. And he called unto him the 12, and began to send them forth by two and two, and gave them power of unclean spirits. Commanded them that they should take nothing for their journey, save a staff only, no scrip, no bread, no money in their purse, but be shod with sandals and not put on two coats. And he said unto them, "In what place soever ye enter into a house, there abide till ye depart from that place. And whosoever shall not receive you nor hear you when ye depart thence, shake off the dust under your feet for a testimony against him. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that city." And they went out and preached that men should repent. And they cast out many devils and anointed with oil many that were sick and healed them. They weren't even to be concerned about, "Well, I can't go unless I get all, you know, the money." Yeah. They wouldn't go unless they had money. All right, Mark 16. Part of the Great Commission. All right, starting with verse 15 there. And he said unto them, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." Sounds like with that comes not only the ministry call, but protection for them too, as they follow the Spirit. All right, let's keep going. John 5. Now there was at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. Now a multitude, I don't know how much a multitude is, but it says, for an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had had an infirmity 38 years. God sent him to one man. There's multitudes of sick people here, and he sends him to one man. When Jesus saw him lying, knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I'm coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus said unto him, rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked, and on the same day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, it is the Sabbath day, it is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. He answered them, he that made me whole, the same said unto me, take up thy bed and walk. Then asked they him, what man is that which saith unto thee, take up thy bed and walk? And he that was healed wist not who it was. For Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Afterward Jesus findeth him in the temple and said unto him, behold, thou art made whole, sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. So Jesus is giving him a warning. Don't side in with them Pharisees, they'll get you back in this mess. All right? All right, let's go to John 11. Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus, of Bethany, the town of Mary, and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Wouldn't it be your inclination to rush to your best friend's side? Then after that saith he to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. His disciples saying to him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Jesus didn't care about that. Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go, that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest in sleep. Then Jesus said unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. Now we know he went and raised Lazarus from the dead. And we know that the sisters were kind of upset with him, because if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But who were they listening to? Who was he listening to, the sisters or God? God wanted to do a miracle. God raised him from the dead. Jesus didn't just do stuff. He got the plan. And he waited till the time to move. Timing is everything, really, when it comes to the things of God. Timing is everything. All right, James 5. Ugh. All right, Lord, we need to finish this. This is 5:14. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. The Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another. Pray for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. This should be normal. Right here is where I believe most of the devil casting out stops, though, unfortunately. People are afraid of it. I don't think that you should go into stage level 2 or 3, especially, without you better have the plan. The second level gets a little heavier, where demonic activity might be present. It includes those taken in occult practices like witchcraft, Satanism, New Age, level 2. People that are involved in the occult. Wow. Thank you, Lord, for the rain. All right, after Pentecost, we see this same message that Jesus brought being carried out by the apostles and the believers. All right, Acts chapter 3. We're close to being done. Verse 1 there. Now, Peter, this is still level 1, but we're going to get into level 2 and 3 because there's just a couple of scriptures on that. Okay, this is, now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who seen Peter and John about to go into the temple asking alms. And Peter fastened his eyes upon him with John said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. He leaping up stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which set for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon, greatly wondering. So what happened? Because of this, that caught the leader's attention, and they threw them in jail. This is where we get into another level. Another level. And Peter tells them, in his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. So they were thrown in jail because they prayed for this man. Now these are ungodly authority, right? They're not moving with the Spirit, I can tell you that. You know, when you start doing stuff like that and stuff like that happens, kind of like with Peter, with Ananias and Sapphira. That kind of goes a little beyond just the praying for the sick and doing personal ministry. Now you start getting into some other areas where there's some little bigger things start happening, right? Okay. I think we'll be returning to the days of Ananias and Sapphira where quick judgment, like Herod. Because he didn't praise God, he was eating worms and died, smitten by the angel. And that happened right there in the presence of everyone. That kind of stuff. I believe we're going to that place. You talk about transparency. That's God's transparency. That's if, you know, you're not in line with God, could be real bad for you. Well, not you, but you know what I'm talking about. All right, Acts 9. And it came to pass, as Peter passed throughout all quarters, he came down also to the saints which dwelt at Lydda. And there he found a certain man named Aeneas, which had kept his bed 8 years and was sick of the palsy. And Peter said unto him, Aeneas, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Arise and make thy bed. And he arose immediately. And all that dwelt in Lydda and Saron saw him and turned to the Lord. Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. It came to pass in those days that she was sick and died, whom when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. And forasmuch as Lydda was nigh to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. Then Peter rose and went with them. When he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him weeping and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. But Peter put them all forth and kneeled down and prayed. He had to say, okay, Lord, what do you want me to do in this situation? And turning him to the body, said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand and lifted her up, and when he had called the saints and widows, presented her alive. And it was known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. It came to pass that he tarried many days in Joppa with one Simon the tanner. They were gaining, because here, next chapter is about Cornelius. Just like Jesus gained all those followers because of the miracles and things that were happening that God was leading him to perform, same thing was happening with the disciples. Okay, let's see. Acts 16. Now, this is second level. Delivering somebody that's involved in the occult. 16:16, you are familiar with this story. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with the spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. This isn't just personal, this has got these people involved. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, why didn't he do it the first day? He was grieved. What does the Holy Spirit do? Groanings and all this going on in here till you get clear, right? Being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command in the name of Jesus to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. When her master saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers, and brought them to the magistrates, saying, these men be Jews, to exceedingly trouble our city. Now they're gone to messing with some other demons. This wasn't just someone needing personal ministry. And teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrate went off their clothes and commanded to beat them. Now we know the story. They got beaten, but God delivered them out of there. All right, let's keep going. Acts 19. I believe this is a third level. 19:23. In the same time there rose no small stir about that way. For a certain man named Demetrius, a silversmith which made silver shrines for Diana, brought no small gain unto the craftsmen, whom he called together with the workmen of like occupation and said, sirs, ye know that by this craft we have our wealth. Now, I'm reading the book by Rick Renner about apostles and prophets, and he goes into great detail of the great temples that are built all over the world and the massive amounts of money that was spent, and they're huge. Some of them are humongous. Idol worship was everywhere. They're worshiping demons everywhere. Moreover, ye see and hear that not alone at Ephesus, but almost all throughout Asia, that Paul hath persuaded and turned away much people, saying that they be no gods which are made with hands. So that not only this our craft is in danger to be set at naught, but also that the temple of the great goddess Diana should be despised and her magnificence should be destroyed, whom all Asia and the world worshipeth. Who was the apostle after Paul, I guess, was executed? John was sent to the seven churches in Asia. And there was some Jezebel stuff going on in some of those churches there. And when they heard these sayings, they were full of wrath and cried out, saying, "Great is Diana of the Ephesians." So this whole place was a demonic stronghold of this goddess. And the whole city was filled with confusion, and having caught Gaius and Aristarchus, men of Macedonia, Paul's companions in travel, they rushed with one accord into the theater. And when Paul would have entered into the people, the disciples suffered him not. And certain of the chief of Asia, which were his friends, sent unto him, desiring him that he would not adventure himself into the theater. Some therefore cried one thing and some another, for the assembly was confused, and the more part knew not wherefore they were come together. And they drew Alexander out of the multitude, the Jews putting him forward, and Alexander beckoned with the hand and would not have made his defense unto the people. But when they knew that he was a Jew, all with one voice about the space of 2 hours cried out, "Great is Diana of the Ephesians." And when the town clerk had appeased the people, he said, "Ye men of Ephesus, what man is there that knoweth not how that the city of the Ephesians is a worshiper of the great goddess Diana, and of the image which fell down from Jupiter? Seeing then that these things cannot be spoken against, ye ought to be quiet and do nothing rashly. For ye have brought hither these men, which are neither robbers of churches, nor yet blasphemers of your goddess. Wherefore, if Demetrius and the craftsmen which are with him have a matter against any man, the law is open, and there are deputies, let them impede one another. But if ye inquire anything concerning other matters, it shall be determined in a lawful assembly. For we are in danger to be called in question for this day's uproar, there be no cause whereby we may give an account of this concourse." And when he had thus spoken, he dismissed the assembly. So, I mean, this stuff was causing riots, putting their lives in danger. Pretty heavy stuff, right? You go into messing with some of these demonic gods that people have worshipped for so long. Well, you better know you got the plan of God to do so. I mean, it's not very comfortable thinking about it, is it? For sure. Everyone's pretty all right when you pray for the sick, and as long as you're not too heavy on the demon stuff. But when you get into the other areas and you're really pulling down the strongholds of the enemy, we've got to know that we're hearing on the inside. If God instructs us to talk, now we're probably not going to go from temple to temple being preaching. Ours will be in the spirit is what the Lord will have us do, probably more than likely. But we've got to know the mind of the spirit. We don't go places and do things just on a whim. You're liable to end up with something like this going on. Stirring up a bunch of demons, a nest of demons. Now, if you're flowing in the spirit and God gives you what to speak and that thing leaves, that's a different story. But if you're just going thinking, "Bless God, I'm going to bind this and loose this and do all this," you could get yourself into trouble. We have to be led by the Spirit. We cannot do this in the flesh. We cannot do it just because we want to. Yeah. All right. Everyone is pretty all right when someone gets healed, but when you go to messing with their craft or their livelihood, you have an angry mob on your hands, just like I read. I think that today we have probably more of these strongholds than in Paul's day. We know we have these archways of Baal all over the United States and other countries. We can see all three levels of warfare. Acts 19, verse 12, right here. "So that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, the evil spirits went out of them." Special miracles were wrought by the hands of Paul. I mean, he went into these Gentile places. All right, in verse 19, it says, "Many of them also which used curious arts brought their books together and burned them all before all men, and they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver." That's a lot of silver. All right. 37. For ye have brought hither these men, which are neither robbers of churches, nor yet blasphemers of your goddess. This man is just trying to make peace. See, we got to know. But sometimes when we get into a situation, we might find these levels, you know, overlapping each other. We might find out there's more to it than we thought that there was. So guys, we got to be prayed up about this. And we got to wait on the timing of God. If Jesus would have gone on and saw to Lazarus, then what God wanted to do wouldn't have gotten done. If he let his emotions get in the way. So like when I started with this, we have to hear. We hear the command, but we got to wait for the plan. All right. Okay.